Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. This is the day of Pentecost, and so we will be looking at that event. And other associated matters. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read for us verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's pray once more. Lord, we have already celebrated this great event. We have experienced the reality of you being with us, even as we worship, knowing that you are the God who initiates, who inspires, enables us to bring praise to you that is from the heart and is true, honors you and builds us up even as we were created to express praise and worship to you. We ask you that you would speak not only to our understanding but to our hearts, that we would respond in ways that are transforming in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. The day of Pentecost was the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to his disciples at his ascension, as Bob explained and taught on last week. Earlier in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus had promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. The only parallel to the significance of this event, that is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the sending by Jesus and the Father of the Holy Spirit, is the Father's promising to send the Messiah as a man to be the Savior of sinners. And when he did that, the birth of Jesus was proclaimed by angels singing glory to God in the presence of the Jewish shepherds who could understand their language. Here at Pentecost, it is not angels who are proclaiming the glory of God, but ordinary men and women, redeemed by the incarnate Son of God, born of His Spirit, speaking praise to God in languages that not only the Jewish shepherds could understand, but people from every or from many language groups, they could hear and understand. So what was the day of Pentecost, and why is it important for us today? Well, the day of Pentecost came on the 50th day after the Passover. It was a celebration of the end of the barley harvest, and it was a time of feasting and rejoicing. And on that day of celebrating the harvest that would sustain the people for their daily sustenance, God began the spiritual harvest of bringing people into the body of Christ. It was the birth of a new organism, the church. And it would be called the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And when we look at Genesis chapter 1 and we see the first creation, we see that the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters, and the earth became an organized, functioning biosphere. Here in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came like a violent wind and tongues of fire resting on each one of the believers. And they were organized into the body of Christ, a spiritual organism made up of people, both male and female, slave and free, who had been born of the Spirit of God. This living organism, the church, was first conceived when God gave the promise to Eve that the seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. It continued in utero, so to speak, growing and developing through Abraham, Moses, and David's time, through the prophets, until it had come to full term during Christ's life. It is as if the labor for the delivery of this baby church was bound up with the ascension of Christ and was now ready for one last push. And that final push came on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came as a sound of a violent wind and the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit's presence in tongues of fire. And the baby church was born and immediately began to talk, unlike most babies, unlike any baby, as I know. But it began to talk. And this is the first reason that Pentecost is important to us, because we are beneficiaries of that birth 2,000 years ago. And again, it wasn't sort of out of the blue. It had been in preparation, as I say, in the womb, so to speak, the womb of the Old Testament until that time, and then it came out into the open, and God gives the world, the church, this baby, this representative of Christ, the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. Secondly, the day of Pentecost gives evidence that the gospel of Christ is for all people. This message of Christ was always intended for all people. It was always intended to be proclaimed all over the earth. And it is God's will, and he specifically tells us, it's God's will that people from all 6,700 language groups around the world hear the mighty acts of God in their own native language, their heart language, to be able to hear it in ways that they can understand. And that great missionary endeavor began on Pentecost, but it has not yet been fulfilled. Notice at the end of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that Bob spoke on last week, that the Great Commission included to the ends of the earth. Well, the 120 there in the upper room on whom the Spirit of God came on that day of Pentecost did declare God's greatness and his mighty acts in languages unknown to them, but known to many of the nations of the world represented there that day. And they were representative of the rest of the language groups that God intended to send his people to over the centuries down to this day. It was, in a sense, symbolic of what God was doing, that the gospel was to be proclaimed everywhere. And so although they didn't go everywhere, they didn't know about the ends of the earth as we know today, but God was making it clear that he intended those people from all nations, all over the world, to hear the greatness of God and the salvation that's in Christ. And so those that day, on the day of Pentecost, the message of Christ's saving work was proclaimed clearly to that multinational, multilingual, and ethnically diverse group, that gathering, and 3,000 responded and took the message with them to various parts of the known world. It was indeed the first great awakening, really a fantastic work of God. And this is why we pray for the Muji in Southwest China. This is why we support and pray for Amanda in Northwest or West China. This is why we support and pray for the couches in Afghanistan, why we pray for and support Operation Mobilization in India, that great nation with such a diverse population and many hundreds of languages. This is why we pray for and encourage Kate in the diaspora ministry here in the church, why we have the after-school programs for kids from the neighborhood, why we support and pray for Edwin and the New York City Christian Athletic League, why we have the ESL classes and the tutoring classes, because we are part of that missionary endeavor. God says he wants his word about his son to go out to people in all different sorts of living situations, all different ethnic backgrounds and all different kinds of people groups, that they might hear the message of Christ. The gospel of Christ is for all people, and they need to hear in ways that they can understand. And so we are continuing on with that great work that God began on the day of Pentecost. Thirdly, the day of Pentecost was the testimony of God that he is with his people. The Holy Spirit was given to the 11 after the resurrection of Christ. But here in Pentecost, God makes it abundantly clear that he fills his house, his temple, all of his people, as did the sound like wind. He also lives in each one individually as the tongues of fire separated and rested on each one. So that God is making it clear that it's not just for a special group of people, not just the prophets in the Old Testament, not just the apostles in the New, but it's all his people who are part of the body of Christ, are those in whom the Spirit of God dwells, that he is with his people. He's not just by his people. He is in his people. So if you belong to Christ, if you are born of the Spirit of God, then you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God the Father gave the Holy Spirit to the church in the name of his Son. And the day of Pentecost makes that abundantly clear. Fourthly, the day of Pentecost was the testimony of God that he is the God of power and holiness. Look at Acts 2, verse 2, where the phrase is, the Holy Spirit came, there was suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came. The wind is used as an expression of God's power, like the wind that blew back the waters during the time of the Exodus, so that the Red Sea opened up and the people could walk through on dry land. Or like the wind that broke the rocks in Elijah's day when he had his encounter with God on Mount Horeb and the wind shattered the rocks. But he's not only the God of power, but he's also the God of holiness. And there, the second part of the Spirit's coming there in verse 3, it's like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Fire is used as a picture of God's holy presence in many places throughout Scripture, his holiness. It was fire from heaven that proved that the true God was with Elijah. It was in the fire of the burning bush that God revealed himself to Moses as the I Am. It was the pillar of fire that testified to God's presence with his people, the Israelites, as they left Egypt. And Jesus comes with refiner's fire to his people. This is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit today. In the unbeliever, he works to convict of sin, of the righteousness of Christ, and of judgment to come. He demonstrates his power, that he is not to be toyed with or ignored. He's not to be set aside. He's not to be belittled, because he is the God of power, the God of Elijah, and the God whose power over all the earth is demonstrated even here on Pentecost. It is also the assurance in the believer that God is indeed with us, that we belong to the Father, that we can call him our Father, and therefore his presence is indeed with us. The individual tongues of fire, not just on the apostles, but upon each one, indicates that God intends his people to know that he is with them individually as well as collectively. He also equips us with the spiritual gifts that we need to communicate his power, demonstrate his grace and love in the gospel of Christ to others. Even as he works to purify and purge his people, he is called to himself a holy people. This is the meaning of the day of Pentecost for us. It's the birth of the church. It gives evidence that the gospel of Christ is for all people. Nobody's left out, no one's excluded. And the day of Pentecost gives us the testimony that God is with his people and that he is a God of power and holiness. Just two last words. To those outside of Christ here in this room, The coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost has made it possible for you to hear the Word of God in language you can understand. In words that will grip your heart. In words that will register with you. And for you to say, I don't get it. They're like maybe speaking Swahili. I don't know what's going on here. God says that he has a way of reaching you. And Pentecost is proof of that. So don't say, I don't get it. Bad sign. God knows how to communicate with you. Not just with certain people, educated or troubled or going through crises, and so they need some kind of a help, and so they latch on to this. No, God knows how to get across his message to you in language that you can understand. Not only do we have many translations of his word in whatever language you speak or read, but he also sends people to us who can speak effectively into our lives. He knows how to do that. Maybe out of the blue, maybe an old acquaintance, maybe a family member, maybe a friend. God knows how to send you someone who can communicate with you in ways that you need. The question is, do you want to hear it? Do you have ears to hear? Because God knows how to speak into your life the gospel, the good news of Christ. Those that have ears to hear will hear. To those, this is the second word, to those in Christ, the Holy Spirit enables you to speak of the mighty deeds of God. He did it with those people. These Galileans didn't have a clue. Maybe they spoke some Greek and they maybe spoke a couple other dialects, but they weren't linguists. And yet God's Spirit in them enabled them to communicate with people they had no way of doing on their own. God has a way to enable you to speak into your life situation to the people that you need to speak to. So you can speak to your friend. You can speak to your relative. You can speak to your coworker, your fellow students, of the wonders of God's grace, the mighty works of God, both in your life and in the world. Because God has given us Pentecost. He's proven it with 120 people. At least 110 of them, or 119 of them, or no, 109 of them, who didn't really have much experience with the Spirit of God. And so he can do it with us. So his word to us is, be filled with the Spirit. Seek to be his instrument, to be his representative. Those who are aware of his presence in their life, who desire to be holy as he is holy, and who want to see the name of Jesus exalted here and everywhere for the glory of God. Let's pray. We are grateful that there is so much going on around the world, that you are God who's at work, and you will not be denied. You will exalt your Son, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But Lord, our desire is to see that happen now among our friends and acquaintances, family members, and to people we don't know, far places of the earth that we'll never visit. We want to see them give honor to you as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so we ask you that we would be those who are sure of your presence with us in the person of your Spirit, and that we have been given what we need, the power to be the people of God in our situation for your glory. May we live our own Pentecost, knowing that indeed Christ is with us, the Spirit of God is with us, the Father is with us for your eternal glory and our good and the good of those around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.